is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com, our Tuesday pal. And an hour number three, Hot Brie in the City.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Fitzgerald right over there. Jim. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. You're making weird noises anyway. Good. Well, then you didn't have to... You need to turn your microphone on. The show's on. Yes, I understand. All right. I love how seriously he takes this whole thing. By the way, so I was telling Jackie Schechner I am wearing the uniform of my addiction spinning class, and I knew Jim would yell at me, which is why I didn't mention it yesterday, but I thought I broke my toe Friday. But I did go to spinning class Saturday and Sunday. And as it turns out, you can run it off. My gym teacher was correct.
Wait a minute. The last time you broke your foot or whatever,
right.
You were in crutches and
right.
We had to
right.
buy you a chaise lounge in order to do the show.
Right, right. And I had a scooter on every floor
yes.
of my house because I had to, yeah, exactly.
So you obviously didn't
no, it's
break
fine.
Your toe.
No,
okay.
I did not. No. I did not. I stubbed it very badly.
Okay.
It looks disgusting. I'll show it to you later.
No, thank you. You showed us your eye, that when you stubbed your eye, so we don't need to see your toe.
Here's one thing I found out. Siri does jokes, though.
Yes.
I had no idea because... Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to remember the podiatrist I went to see if I should, you know, go to check out my toe.
Right.
And I said, Siri, find podiatrist in whatever, Los Angeles, California. And she said, oh, the agony of defeat. And then she lists them. I'm like, really? Siri, my toe hurts. Just find me.
Siri worked on the Catskills before she got the job as.
But I want to tell you.
I didn't know that.
Take well, my wife, please.
I did ask her if she was helping the NSA spy on me, and she said, I don't, I said, whatever. She's very evasive.
Yeah.
I have no information. Can we get back to work? Like, what? That is work. I'm working now. Oh, and I asked her, can you locate my civil liberties? And I she was very evasive again.
Yeah, of course. Because she's working for the man.
Right. Right. Oh, I think that was the can we get back to work. Like, she was like, all right, stop.
Resistance is futile.
Just, what do you need? As it turns out, that's what I needed. All right, so we have...
Sure.
I was on CNN last night. We were speaking of gadgets and things. We were talking about there's an NPR reporter that's like live tweeting from his mother's deathbed.
Oh. Ooh.
And I don't mean to judge other people. I'm just like, really? I would... First of all, my mom, as you know, is 90, has no computer.
Right.
She calls my brother's computer Bill's machine.
Yes.
Oh, just send it to me on Bill's machine. But she would be very uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
a
very private.
If this reporter is a technology reporter and mom was very proud of the fact that son was a technology reporter.
Oh, I'm not trying to judge him. I'm saying for me.
Okay.
And plus, I don't even know emotionally how you would do it. How you would, if you're actually going through that, how you would be able to
you know what,
tweet
if,
about.
If you're a reporter, that's kind of what you do.
I guess. I'm not, well, you know, like Roland, I went on vacation with
right.
Roland.
Yeah.
Roland never, he's like Edward cell phone hands. Like,
yeah.
He literally, I don't think even in the shower or sleeping, he actually puts the phone down. So I was like, Roland, we've been on vacation 3 days. We have not made eye contact. I'm going to throw that thing in the pool.
Right. I think I know more about his pigeon, Ned, than I know about you. Because he tweets about Ned all the time.
I know.
Yeah.
Ned the pigeon?
There's a pigeon that hangs out on his terrace.
Ah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And he's very...
fond of.
Right. In a weird kind of Mike Tyson sort of way.
Yeah.
Like way too fond of his
he's
pigeons.
He's more fond of Ned than Butters.
Right.
At this point.
Butters his dog, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's true, technically.
Okay.
Anyway.
It just seems like it.
No, and so I don't know if this is a generational thing, but I can't imagine either. I mean, my dad's been gone a long time, so we know it's, you know, painful, but I can't imagine he would have been comfortable with that, and he was a public person. It was a weird topic, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
This started with Siri. Siri and her little jokes when you're in pain. All right.
Oh, the agony of defeat.
That was funny.
I was like, what? Just give me the... Oh, my God.
What?
I used Uber for the first time, though, yesterday. It is like magic. Oh, my God. It's the where you call a cab.
Well, you call it
sort
a
of.
Town car.
Something.
Yeah.
Right. But it shows you where it is. It even showed getting lost in it, turning around.
Right.
And
no money exchanges hands.
No.
You know, because automatically goes to your credit card and everything.
Right. Well, yours in this case. I got yours from Travis.
Hey.
But anyway, my point is.
Well, good luck getting that charge then.
Wait a minute. Why did I buy $10,000
worth
your
phone
dog food?
Knows where you are. It drops
a
pin and then you go, right. And then it just says arriving in whatever, however many minutes. And then it shows you. It's on its way. It's like.
And shows you the name of the driver?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then they call you and
so
they
text
you. So
you're like best friends by the time he gets there.
Right. And then I called him because I could see from the car that he was lost. I was like, no, hey, no. You're going the wrong, no, turn, because you can see it on your, it's amazing.
You're going the wrong way.
That's what I said. I called him, I called him, and I said, I can see you, and you are going the wrong way.
You're going the wrong way! What? You're going the wrong way!
Okay.
All right, glug, glug, glug. No, he did not make that sound. Because you know everybody gets lost going to my place because it's
yes,
near the thing.
Yes, because it's a thing.
And they
yeah.
go that way
it's a,
instead
it's a
of
whole
the,
thing.
The thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, back to Wiener. It's hard to get off of it, you know what I'm saying? Once you get on the Wiener, you know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't know.
just the headline, Wiener exclusive, I'm huge, I can help you. And actually, he didn't mean that in a, you know,
right.
way. He meant, because you know. he thinks quite a lot of them.
Well, he's in fourth place.
You know, when you're a member of the House Six of Representatives, you're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, but it's only douches like that that say stuff like that
right.
to people.
You're
I'm
right.
huge. Huge.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge.
Okay.
He's going to get a job at Trump if
yeah,
the
exactly.
mayor thing falls through.
Yeah, he is apparently not pulling out.
Nope. Even though the Clintons would like him to
right?
at this point.
Yeah.
I don't take my cues from the headline writers in the newspapers. I never have. Those are the very same people that didn't want me to run.
Yeah. Reports are this morning that the Clintons are none
yes.
too happy with him.
Right, and would like to see him. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Pull out.
All right now, thanks for coming, mm-hmm. user. He has he's dropped to fourth.
Fourth.
Last
mm-hmm.
in the poll, yeah. Let's see. Anthony Weiner again.
Taking a bet, anyways, that people are more interested in hearing solutions to their problems than hearing about things in my background. And we'll see if that's the case.
No, not so much.
Computer says no.
Nah. Oh, dear.
So if there are no pictures of Wiener's Wiener that crop up.
My wife has given me a second chance. She's now, you know, she's a partner through thick and thin, and she's been amazingly supportive and enthusiastic about this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well.
All right.
Why
yeah.
are we going through a flurry of Democrats happened. With this?
I don't know, but I know the Republicans cannot be happier.
I know.
Don't worry. Just wait a second. It'll be another
couple
of Republicans in a minute.
Okay.
They're just like, oh, can we stop talking about Mark Sanford? Yeah, this is the, where is this? In the Daily Mail. Anthony Weiner bragged he could help his secret sexting partner secure a $5,000 a month condo in Chicago where they can meet up for sex, telling her, I'm huge. I can help you.
Hmm.
Sydney Leathers.
I bet she does. What?
Huh? Is that who you are or what you do? No.
Revealed how Weiner fantasized about making love to her in the pad. She said he'd talk about how we would have crazy passionate sex and not disturb the neighbors and just strange stuff like that. That turns him on.
Watch out for the bags of vapors.
No, don't speak. Don't speak.
Silence.
That does turn some people on having to be quiet. Shh, I know you're a screamer. Pardon me?
Never mind.
All right. Ball gag. Anyway, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he would have all kinds of different fantasies. Can I have some fantasy music, please?
Oh, right.
He would have all kinds of different fantasies. He'd tell me, we'd have to keep quiet. We don't want the neighbors to know. And how would I sneak in and out without anyone knowing? Oh, my God,
wow.
He's like...
This is weird.
He's just... He really is a dork.
Fantasies about not
he's kind
getting
of a dork.
Caught?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of par for the course for a politician,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yes. Bragging about his influence, he also claimed he wanted to get Sidney a pass to the Democratic National Convention. Ooh. We've been there. That was hot,
yeah.
wasn't it? Thanks. As well as a job at the Politico website. Oh, he's just kind of full of it. Here's what else I can do for you, baby.
Hey.
Huh? Sidney claims that she was less than impressed when her online lover sent her explicit pictures. She was like, meh, not so much.
I can get you a subscription to the New York Post.
Wow. That turns a girl on.
Every girl's dream.
Ooh, page six every morning.
Buy a beer at the Billy Goat.
What?
Ooh. Okay, and she alleges that Bill and Hillary Clinton will be unhappy with her.
Computer says yes.
Yes, I'm guessing. I'm guessing. She said, I wouldn't have tried to release it anonymously in the beginning if I was looking to make money off of it. I didn't want the attention. I felt like it needed to come out before the primary. He was doing really well in the polls. It kind of ate me up inside that he had the secret. He was going around lying, saying he was a changed man and everything was different, great, and better. The reality is he had just contacted me this April, even if it wasn't a sexual thing. But he had the sexual relationship with me in 2012, and that was after he was telling everyone how changed he was. I felt if I didn't speak for myself, someone is going to speak for me. Wiener shared his thoughts with Sidney, by the way, on his daily political life, and when she asked him which Republican he disliked the most, he replied by saying Sean Hannity of Fox News. She said, I was thinking he would respond with, like, a member of Congress he'd work with, and he actually said Sean Hannity, and that made me laugh because I hate Fox News, so I got a kick out of that. If I remember correctly, he said he's a hole. All right, well, now I'm back to liking Wiener again.
Yeah.
So anyway, she said, I brought up the idea I might want to move to Chicago, and I told him someone else had already bid on the condo I wanted. He said, oh, give me the address. I might know the owner. And
oh, really?
Oh, he's just douchier than I thought. And things like, I'm huge, I can help you. Like, he had a big name, and everyone knows him, and he could take care of it, and that type of thing. Oh, God.
Whatever.
Who's this guy? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure he knows every condo owner in Chicago randomly. Sure, let me make a call, sweetie. Let me take care of that for you. Oh, gosh, he is, you know what? He's a wiener. He really is. Click.
Ooh, I like that one. Click. Ooh, that one's even better. Click, click, click. Just a skinny-looking dude from Brooklyn, New York, hoping for the time of his life. Tucks and picks up his wiener to dozens of women. We all think that's pretty stupid. He's running for mayor in a shrinking campaign, but he keeps on thrusting forward.
Oh.
He thinks he can make it, but the polls don't show it due to his prick picks. He's a weeniac, weeniac on the computer. And he's shooting pics of his prick like never before.
Yikes.
All right.
Thank you, Audrey, Minneapolis. Did we pre-screen that? I guess not.
We pre-screened it enough.
Oops.
Not enough, though.
Oops. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess nothing rhymes with Schwanz.
No.
No.
No. But we can always go back to the studio and try
yes,
to find something
we
that
can.
Does. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anyway. Dan in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good. Good morning. My point was, do the women take any responsibility with this, with Anthony Weiner? Continuing to have relationships with him and, you know, tattling on him, and that's fine. You know, he should be out of the race. He's despicable. But as a wife and a mother, I know that they have a son, and he's small now, but he will soon understand, you know, how to treat women, how not to treat women. Is this the kind of influence she wants on her child?
Right. Well, you know,
it's okay to give him a pass to send pictures of a genitalia.
Look, you know, Dana, I think that Jackie brought that up. But again, my personal feeling is not me to judge for her whether you stay or go or what. I mean, you know,
of course not. Right. I mean, look, everybody has their own, you know, everybody's marriage is personal and private, and it's their own business what they want to do. But when there's children involved, you know, and you're doing this kind of disgusting stuff, his son's going to see it someday, and it's pretty despicable.
Well, but I also agree with you, and I said this yesterday. I don't think these women are victims in this case either.
Absolutely not. What's her name? Leathers? Something. I mean, you know,
Sydney Leathers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she's sending them videos too. They're just as culpable, and now they're having their 15 minutes of fame and running to the bank.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think everybody involved is kind of scummy, and they should just all go away.
Okay. All right.
So, and I love you guys, have such a wonderful day. Love you.
Thank you. Love you. Yeah, I actually, now I officially feel bad for Huma because, well, among other things. This is the crazies on Fox News. They've unearthed again the Muslim Brotherhood blah, 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 blah thing. According to Fox guest Brooke Goldstein, please and thank you.
All right.
The New York City mayor, Anthony Weiner, is unattracted to his wife because she wants to destroy America with the help of her familiar connections in the Muslim brother.
Sure. Good. Did she speak of proof of her allegation? No.
No, of course not. No. Who needs proof?
She was asked
when you have an opinion.
Right. She's on Fox News.
Yeah.
Proof? She was asked whether too much attention was paid to Wiener's sexting. In response, Goldstein had a suggestion for the real question as she sees it, which is, why is Anthony Weiner so unattracted to Huma Abedin? And she then answered her own question. She said, perhaps it's because she's connected with Islamists who want to kill us. Yeah, that's it. It's not that he's just a horny perv.
And the premise is faulty in the first place. Nothing suggests that he's unattracted to her.
Or Muslim brotherhood connections.
Right.
God.
What's wrong with you? Yeah, this is when, see, here's the line and here's Fox. They always cross in terms of just speculation about what's what with anybody's marriage. Okay.
So perhaps how long have you been in Al-Qaeda?
Perhaps it's because her family members are part and parcel of the Muslim Brotherhood. I completely agree with Andy McCarthy that she poses one of our greatest national security threats in this administration.
God.
Thank God her co-panelists expressed some skepticism. Is it part of her creed to marry a Jewish perv? Mocked one of them.
Yeah.
Actually, when you're being mocked by fellow panelists on a Fox News show, you know you've probably gone around the bend. Another comedian suggested Abedin could barely figure out her husband was sexting behind her back, let alone have some sort of devious plot against the United States. Yeah, there's that. Wow.
And you must also believe that Hillary Clinton's involved in a plot against the United States.
Right,
She was
She's obviously very happy about this whole thing happening. John in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering what your take on the Biden-Clinton breakfast was all about.
Ooh.
I mean,
Obama. You mean Obama. Hillary.
The Biden had the breakfast. The lunch was with Obama yesterday. Breakfast was today.
Oh, I'm guessing that was probably a leg wrestling match over who gets to run, I'm guessing. Or maybe thumb wrestling.
Sack race.
Could be thumb wrestling, sack race.
Well, like a three-legged race.
Well, I just wonder if Hillary strong-arming Biden and tell him just, you know, you're not running, you know,
Right. I will,
Because they both want to run, I would assume. I mean, since Biden's the non-existent vice president.
I hope they had tasters for their food.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure she had some very subtle thoughts in terms of
turkey.
Yeah. I am not one of
I'm guessing they had turkey.
You're serving turkey?
She probably had some thoughts on competing with her. Oh. Is what I'm trying to set you up for. Right. All right.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
There was that.
She does a great Goldie Hawn impression.
Yeah, we got some hidden audio, John. Yes. So there you go. All right. Oh, he's already gone. All right. Yes. And I'm guessing they did have what kind
turkey?
Right. What kind of sausage would you like?
Turkey.
All right. Turkey sausage patties it is. So
there it is.
All right. 29. Yeah, I wonder if they were both seeing who was going to eat first.
Yeah.
Oh.
You going to finish that?
She's still alive. Okay.
You going to start that?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Grandma stroking out.
No, I'm not. I'm fine. Nobody help me. 34 minutes after the hour.
Death loves spinning. That's what, or pirates love spinning. That's what that is.
My shirt? No, it's not. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, Senator Feinstein also had some thoughts on Bob Filner in our perv stack this morning.
I don't think that somebody who is lacking a moral compass really sets a role model or really will provide the kind of leadership that San Diegans want.
Filner, I just met her.
Oh.
How's the two-week therapy going for his
2 weeks,
problem?
2 whole weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. He's not even a half week done with it. So I don't think it's taking
Didn't
yet.
Didn't he have a deadline of like yesterday at 5 o'clock to resign? Or the recall was going for him? I think so.
Okay. We could replace Bob Filner with Lindsay Lohan.
Right? If anyone will notice. Yes, we speculated yesterday, some sort of a Schick Center. We don't know. We're not sure how it would have to be something fairly.
Or a Schick Center.
Maybe like a dog shock collar kind of thing. No, don't touch her.
Hey, how'd you like that?
Right.
Okay, I won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
A headlock alarm.
Those
right.
Look nice. Okay. I won't do it anymore.
Yeah, a low jack, for the Filner headlock, something.
Apparently, one woman said that he caressed her cheek and said, "Hey, do you have a man in your life?"
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Terrible line. Okay. Sorry.
And he's 70. And he looks like that.
And I bet he did it really slow and creepy.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Just
like...
Wow.
Okay.
And apparently, another woman said that he slobbered on her cheek.
Ew.
Oh.
Like licked her cheek.
Yeah.
I wonder if there is. They should think about that, a perv collar. It's sort of like a bark collar.
Sure. Okay, I won't do it anymore.
Oh, I love your cheeks.
Ow!
Did you really think chicks dig that?
And was it Jeff Daniels that licked the frozen pole in Dumb and Dumber? Or was it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good picture. Right. Just that man.
Yeah. It was also Flick in A Christmas Story.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Just a really creepy lick.
Yeah.
Oh, your makeup tastes like cream cheese.
Oh, my God. God.
Yeah, he's got a mouthful of foundation. That's disgusting.
Ew. That's just made the hair on my neck stand up. I don't even know. She's like the creepy uncle.
Yeah. She said, quote, saliva ran down my cheek.
Really?
Pull my finger. That wasn't my finger.
Maybe the combination, actually, for him of a collar and, like, the Mike Myers helmet and the, you know, leash on the back of him. Just, like, strap him to his desk, don't you think?
Sure. Do we know if he's married?
I
think he is.
I would.
Let me check that. Let me do some research.
Wow, yeah. Mrs. Filner must be really excited about this whole thing. Okay. All right.
He is divorced from his first wife, Barbara Filner,
really?
A retired...
What could have gone wrong there?
But wait, there's more.
This just in. Yes, go ahead.
He had a second wife. Hold on. Yeah.
Huh.
Divorced from his second wife as well.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Once again, what could have gone awry?
She may have had an accident of some kind.
One wonders what could possibly have gone awry there. Bob in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I just wanted to point out something that I really find it astonishing that the gang over at Fox News hasn't been hammering away at. If you listen to Uma's phrase where she says, well, I'm here because I love him, I believe in him,
right,
and so forth, that, I think, is lifted right from Hillary's playbook from the 92 appearance on 60 Minutes. And I would, possibly Hillary's been helping her out with this since they're such good friends. But
One problem with that. As we've said over and over, Anthony Weiner is no Bill Clinton.
Well, that's true. But I just found that phrase to be almost verbatim from a point in Hillary's presentation on 60 Minutes where she's defending Bill.
Yeah.
It is very, very similar, and I wouldn't doubt it if Hillary didn't help her.
Yeah, well, you know, perhaps. I mean, it's actually, you know, it's funny. We'll talk to Melissa Fitzgerald about this because I think that everybody has a really emotional reaction about a lot of people. And Jackie knows because she had got a lot of email with people saying they felt like she was being too harsh on Huma. And I think, and that's the thing, is the actual marriage, like, it really is not our business. I believe that same thing about the Clintons, that it, you know, I think Melissa was saying, like, who cares if she likes how he sings in the shower? Like, that's why she stays. Like, it's not, right. That part isn't, I think, anybody's business. But, I think politically is what I'm saying. There is a reason why 70-something percent of the American people were behind Clinton when he was going through what he was going through. And Wiener's last in the polls now. He's, because he's no Bill Clinton. It's just, the point is, Chris, I am always right, is what the point of that is. People largely agree with me.
This just in, Anthony Weiner is fifth in a four-person race.
I was dragged into this?
No.
Okay.
I was just going to do female perv stack for Jim.
Okay. Okay.
We've been doing this.
Yeah.
Oh my God, didn't he actually say that in one of his texts, Anthony Weiner? He said, I'm an argumentative, horny, middle-aged perv.
Okay.
At least he has some self-awareness. You got to give it to him for that. He is arguing with himself about that.
I see.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
Let's see. I've gone braless. TV reporter posts revealing online confessional gets terminated by the station.
Yes.
It seems like she might be in need of some comfort, Jim.
She kind of went a little too confessional with this.
Way. It's right on the channel on it next to Inouyen.
Yeah.
Way TV. W-A-A-Y, really?
That's right.
Way.
Shay Allen is her name.
Way. And she's a looker.
Oh, yes.
She's a hottie.
She posted a controversial confessions blog last week. Investigative reporter for Huntsville, Alabama's ABC affiliate. That's what in a way. It was originally entitled Confessions of a Redheaded Reporter. Containing 10 confessional bullet points on her looks, her TV career, and her beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Jim. I've gone braless during a live broadcast, and no one was the wiser.
Okay.
Number two, my best sources are the ones who secretly have a crush on me. Number three, I am better live and when I have no script and no idea what I'm talking about. Well, I share that with her.
Yeah. Sure.
Number four, I've mastered the ability to contort my body into a position that makes me appear much skinnier in front of the camera than I actually am. Oh, well, that's...
Most reporters do that.
Well,
though.
And a lot of women, we know how to do that.
Yeah.
In bed, too. There's just a wave. You learn to lay, so it's, you know.
So you've been lying to us all this time?
Right. Number five, I hate the right side of my face. Number six, I'm frightened of old people, and I refuse to do stories involving them or the places they reside. Number seven, happy, fluffy rainbow stories about good things make me depressed. Number eight, I've taken naps in the news car. Number nine, if you ramble and I deem you unnecessary for my story, I'll stop recording but let you think otherwise. Number ten, I've stolen mail and then put it back. Maybe.
Wow.
She says she was terminated without cause for her confessional post. TV has had no comment.
I think some cause might be found in there, especially the stealing mail part.
But she stipulated maybe.
No, I think she stipulated maybe returned it.
Oh, is that what she meant?
The maybe was close to
Jim
the
didn't
return.
Hear anything after the braless part?
Yeah,
was the only part he heard. All right. By the way, the president had an interview with the New York Times. He said some interesting stuff.
Yep.
Here is Josh Earnest, White House spokesperson on the economy.
One of the benefits of the Affordable Care Act is making sure that those Americans that don't get health insurance through their employer are able for the first time to go on the open market through these marketplaces and purchase high-quality, affordable health insurance.
Yes.
Which in turn helps the economy.
Right. Everybody remain calm. That's what every time we talk to Jackie about it, I really seriously don't get the paranoia other than, in case you haven't noticed, the president's black.
Yeah.
Because most of us, everything is the same. Most people get insurance through their work. This is like, I don't even understand how this ever became a thing, where it's a bad thing to let this percentage of the population that doesn't have health insurance that way be able to get it. Mm-hmm. What is the...
And it's not even a government-run insurance company.
No, it is not.
It's competition between private insurers.
And that's why, exactly, as Jackie was saying again yesterday, and state after state premiums are going down.
Yes.
Josh Earnest again.
The prospect of a government shutdown or more drama around the debt ceiling would be bad for the economy. There's no doubt about that. And I think, again, that is a view that is shared by leaders in Congress in both parties. So there is ample time for us, based on that general agreement, there is ample time for us to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, because that's their latest gambit, is to shut down the government over defunding Obamacare, yep, since they haven't been able to stop it any other way. Josh Earnest, one more time.
If we don't make those kinds of investments, we're going to see the benefits flow just to the top 1%, and we're going to end up in the same boom and bust cycle that led us to the worst economic downturn in the first place.
I'll tell you what's in it. I thought the president had some great responses to the New York Times, where they asked him something about, oh, so-and-so says you're usurping your authority by blah, blah, blah. And he said, some people think I usurp my authority by having the gall to win the presidency, which is true.
That is true.
All right.
Good comeback, sir.
Nicely done, sir. We'll talk to you. We'll talk about the rest of that interview as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up next hour. All right, so the president gave an interview to the New York Times,
mm-hmm,
an extensive interview, actually.
Yes.
And I thought he had some interesting comments. He pushed back on the popular Beltway narrative. He is somehow responsible for the deranged opposition that Republicans cemented the day he was inaugurated, if you'll recall, from your history books. He said, blah, blah, blah. I think if I'm arguing for an entirely different policies and Congress ends up pursuing policies that I don't think make sense and we get a bad result, it's hard to argue that would be my legacy. And so I'll worry about my legacy later, or let historians worry about my legacy. President Obama also pushed back on the suggestion that the so-called sequester was something that the president and Congress, quote-unquote, agreed to. Which is a lot like saying the Iran hostages and their captors agreed to a meal plan.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the thing I don't get, is that people really, well, Republicans do it on purpose, but have that short of memory. It's literally because they were going to shut the government down. Remember, it was this debt ceiling thing.
Yep.
And that's the problem. The supposition was they actually care about the country as much as the other side. And that this was, you know, he said this is something nobody thought, you know, would happen because it's hurting us. And they don't care. He said, my hope would be any reporter who is looking at the facts would also take the time to confirm, talking about the Keystone Pipeline, that the most realistic estimates are that this might create maybe 2,000 jobs during the construction of the pipeline, which might take a year or two. And then after that, we were talking about somewhere between 50 and 100 jobs in an economy of 150 million working people.
Yeah.
I just heard some Republican.
Catastrophe.
Right. I just heard some Republican put that out there again the other day, as if that's going to be the cure-all for the economy. That's the number of jobs we're talking about. It's like they literally talk about it like,
jobs.
If we just did this,
literally dozens of jobs.
Right, everything would be...
Sure, and the water would be undrinkable, and...
Yeah, yes. And Earth would be unlivable.
Yeah.
And once again, Morans, listen up. The oil doesn't go right into your gas tank directly. It actually goes to Canada.
Herp, derp.
It's not our oil.
No, it comes from Canada.
Right,
and goes down to
right.
the Gulf to be sent to other countries.
Right. Right. It's our oil!
Gas will be 2 cents a gallon if we get the pipeline. It goes on the international marketplace from which we buy our oil as well.
Right. Right. Asked about Republicans' concerns that he has overstepped his authority by delaying implementation of the Affordable Care Act's employer mandate, he said, there's not an action that I can take. You don't have some folks in Congress who say I'm usurping my authority. Some of those folks think I usurp my authority by having the gall to win the presidency, and I don't think that's a secret. But ultimately, I'm not concerned about their opinions. Very few of them, by the way, are lawyers, much less constitutional lawyers.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, snap. Oh, snap. Okay, here's my...
Oh?
All right. First of all, this is borderline homophobic and just immature. But Mitch McConnell is feeling somewhat jealous
yes.
about the closeness of John McCain and Chuck Schumer lately. And he literally said, as if he's in eighth grade, when are y'all going to get married? Okay.
He said that.
Yes. Senator Mitch McLiplis took a jab at the relationship between Senator John McCain and Chuck Schumer.
It's difficult for me to take a jab. I move first.
You don't, have an index finger, first of all.
I don't have fingers. Let me jab you.
That'd take a while. You'd probably be able to duck by then.
I guess so.
Yeah, you would probably see that coming. He'd never be able to do a roundhouse or hold cocky, really. You'd,
Look out. Here it comes. Wait for it. Wait for it.
Who would seriously be dumb enough to get hit by Mitch McConnell? Yeah. Okay, I'll just wait here. Okay. No, he's, because you have to say, you got to give John McCain a little bit of credit. He's becoming the old McCainy a little bit. Because, you know, and he's been working on immigration reform, and obviously he brokered the deal. They basically shoved Yertle out of the way.
Yeah.
To get some stuff done on the so-called nuclear option.
That's not fair.
Well, Yertle was standing in the way of everything.
Right. Right. Anyway, he said, we don't have any rules. You don't talk to Democrats. That's just McCain being McCain, though. You know, I was kidding Schumer and McCain the other day and asked, when are y'all getting married? It's almost getting embarrassing.
Good one.
Yeah, that was, wow.
That's, zinger.
Snap.
Snap. I'm on fire.
Wow, did you call them femmes next?
Yeah, boy.
McCain and Schumer speak on the phone 5 to 6 times a day, which apparently just makes McConnell furious. According to a recent Politico article that described them as two sides of a power triangle, which I guess would make Mitch the power bottom, technically, because because he's not really involved in the top-level discussions.
He's only on the bottom.
Right. If it's a power triangle, sure. All I'm saying is he's clearly not a power top.
Who's standing on my shelf?
He's not at the top of the triangle.
Right. He's on the bottom.
Right.
Do you even talk to Roland 6 times a day?
No. No, and I talk to him a lot.
I know you do.
there was another piece in the Daily Beast. McConnell and Boehner lose their grip on the Republican Party. This will be interesting to see how this all plays out. The man fight between who is it, Rand Paul and Chris Christie, continues apace.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost my grip on the Republican Party because I do not have opposable thumbs.
See, because now it's not just a Tea Party and the Republican establishment. Now it's become this sort of libertarian crazy streak that kind of... So now it's kind of splintering in three different kind of factions.
And I like it.
Right. Point is, McConnell and Boehner kind of... Boehner's a little bit limp in this whole... Peter Beinart in the Daily Beast writes, the ascendance of the Tea Party and its power over members fearful of being primaried has left the GOP with remarkably weak leaders, which is what's happened to noted power bottom Mitch McConnell.
And Boehner's like a Cheeto left out in the rain.
Right.
All that sweet orange icing.
Someone left the Cheeto in the rain.
All that sweet orange coating.
Morning down.
Think that I can take it.
They'll never have that recipe again.
Right.
Oh, no!
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
Last week, the Senate Minority Leader came under a ferocious conservative attack for allowing a deal that permitted votes on the several long-stalled Obama administration nominees. So at a meeting of Senate Republicans, McConnell said he had not been a party to the agreement, a remarkable admission for the man who supposedly leads the Senate GOP. I'm not even sure he's a power bottom.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But most remarkable was what happened next. Tennessee's Bob Corker, one of the senators who hatched the deal, interrupted McConnell's remarks by yelling, "Bull!"
Oh, dear.
Stuff like that's been happening a lot. McConnell is so afraid of his party's right wing, he's largely given up trying to cut deals with Democrats. He's no better in the House. Boehner, who Nancy Pelosi recently called the weakest speaker in history, last year tried and failed to get House Republicans to back a grand budget compromise with Obama. Then he went to Plan B, which he hatched himself, and they rejected that, too. Someone did indeed leave the orange Cheeto in the rain. So sad. Finally, on January 2nd of this year, when he voted for a more modest deal to avert the fiscal cliff, he not only failed to bring along most of his caucus, he couldn't even convince his deputy, Eric Cantor.
I gotta control my own caucus!
Eric Cantor, who just got a bitch face over the whole thing. He was in Montauk.
I just don't feel right about it. That just makes me feel oogie.
So the RNC releases this report, obviously saying we must embrace and champion comprehensive immigration reform.
Computer says no.
No. Most congressional Republicans, as we know, are adamantly opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Why have Republicans become, Republican leaders become so weak? And then they say, it goes on to talk about what's changed the Tea Party. And it is delightful to watch. Fight, fight, fight. They're shoving all of each other into the bleachers. It's delightful. We'll talk more about that. So we continue 58 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up at the bottom of the hour. Writer extraordinaire at Esquire.com. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. And then what's for breakfast? Hot Brie. Yum. In hour number three, activist Melissa Fitzgerald, right over there at live in studio next to Jim.
Was that a wise decision?
No, not at all. Barb in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Good morning. You're here to perv out on Chris. Go ahead.
Huh?
Oh, yes, Chris. I just would like to know.
Wrong tree. It's the dog for you.
Because you are the type of gentleman you write home and tell mom about, and woo-wee, I tell you, I watch it every day.
Wow.
Wow, thank you,
and you were
Barb.
Curious as to what he smells like?
Yes, I know Barack smells like fresh air and cookies, so...
Free cookies and freedom. Chris smells like old sneakers and cheese.
Oh, that's...
Listen, wrong tree. We had to let barking dog down easy somehow. I needed to deflate her.
Bless her heart.
Chris is hot. What does he smell like? That's what it said on the screen.
Yeah.
I meant to say wet sneakers and old cheese. Okay.
Testosterone.
What do you think?
Regret?
Look, he eats cheese every day, and he's in the gym 24/7. What do you think he smells like? Sweaty sneakers.
An old jock strap.
Yeah. Right, an old jock
and
strap.
Lots and lots of regret.
Sprinkled with Parmesan.
Gack.
All right, if that didn't gross you out enough, you knew I was going to do this story.
What?
Why is it? Why I have a reputation, I guess, for, you know, poop humor. Everyone I know sends it to me.
Yeah.
Man gets a week in jail for pooping pants. I get pretty much every... You know what? We may have to bust out teacher poopy pants at some point.
Okay. All right.
As a journalist, that's the story that I made my chops on. That was a teacher out here in L.A., remember years ago?
Uh-huh.
That pooped her pants and then blamed the students?
Right. She was the source of the feces.
Right. She said they threw it on her.
Yes.
And
they threw a bucket
out,
of it.
After an investigation, it turns out, that was in the police report. Yep. She was the source of the...
Was Ted Nugent involved?
Okay, Huffington Post brings us the story. Everybody poops, but not everyone does it in their pants. Instead of a federal courthouse and gets jail time for it. This was, can I just say, I don't know if you read the Fuller story. You just sent me an abbreviated version.
Oh, okay.
The Fuller story, do not go online and read it while you are eating or even close to eating. It is epic and really thoroughly disgusting.
This is the only version I found. Oh, there's more?
Yeah. No,
but wait, there's more.
It was too much for me. I actually was not going to do the story because I was so grossed out that I, yeah.
Okay. I'm glad I sent you the sanitizer.
I think I'm going to barf.
If you want to read the whole, it's really quite, anyway, 50-year-old Ronald Strong, according to a recent Salon article, that's where I think the original is, yeah.
Okay.
Accidentally defecated in his pants.
Oh.
Went to clean it up and left such a terrible mess in the bathroom. In the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, they gave the main man a week in jail. And I know you think that's harsh until you read the detail.
Mm. I just think I'm going to
die. It sounds like you couldn't help it.
Well, in a graphic 57-page document, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you to read the 57 pages. Detailing Strong's crappy day, as Huffington Post calls it. A distinguished judge included, quote, unquote, vivid comparisons to spaghetti with meat sauce and chunky peanut butter.
Duh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
But he says
the description of the mess in the bathroom. I'm serious. If you need to lose weight, you may never eat again. It's just that.
What?
You remember the time I ate too much seaweed and went for a bike ride in Central Park? I told you that story.
Yeah, you didn't make it.
No, it's. I don't know how stuff gets on the ceiling, but it is really. That's what it sounded like this story. And his apparently his attempts to clean it up just made it worse.
He tried. to clean it up.
Right.
It's not like he...
Deliberately.
Right, yes. Well, so why did he get a week in jail? That seems a little excessive.
I don't know, because it was...
I feel for the poor guy.
It was like a... sounded like a Gallagher concert in there, just tarp, and it was... there was smearing, so they thought it was, like, deliberate. I don't know. It was a really epic story. Enjoy.
Oh.
All right. Now back to other crap. We've been talking about what has happened to the Republican Party and what is currently happening.
Yes.
It is going to be fascinating to watch this play out. As we've been talking to some of our favorite writers about Michael Tomasky and Charlie Pierce, who we'll talk to soon about whether there will really be a President Ted Cruz, for instance, or Rand Paul, or if they're really going to go, you know, if that's who's going to win, if they're going that extreme. Oh, yeah. Ted Cruz had some... weird, no empathy for the city of Detroit?
No, not at
Got
all.
Got no love for Detroit?
Got no love.
The idea that you and I, the taxpayers all across the country, would be stuck footing the bill for Detroit's irresponsible policies, I think makes no sense.
When is he going to stop breathing helium?
Is it wrong to say he looks like a character in Ratatouille? He just looks like a cartoon
rat. He looks like the food critic in Ratatouille.
Right, in Ratatouille. Right.
Yeah.
Rat-faced Joe McCarthy-looking moho.
Yeah, anyway. It does sound like he's been breathing helium for a while.
Anyway, great piece on Daily Beast, Peter Beinart saying, why have Republican leaders become so weak? Because they were saying Mitch McConnell and John Boehner are pretty much not in charge anymore. What's changed the ascendance of the Tea Party? In April, they did the most comprehensive survey of Tea Party supporters yet. They found Tea Partiers have become the foot soldiers of the GOP. This is what we were saying. Mitch Yertle is going to get teabagged in Kentucky.
Oh, no.
Right.
It's very difficult for me to be teabagged because I can retreat into my shell.
Those foot soldiers, as we know, far more conservative than other Republicans. Democrats, independents, even Republicans say the GOP's refusal to compromise is its biggest flaw, but the party's largest faction dislikes compromise. The RNC report warned that the GOP is losing the ability to be persuasive with or welcoming to those who do not agree with us on every issue. But Tea Party supporters don't care. Three-quarters of them said in this survey they would rather back a Republican candidate they agree with on the issues, but trails far behind the likely Democratic nominee than a candidate they agree with less, who has a better chance to win. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Go with Ratatouille food critic for president. Yes. Go. Ideological purity.
Have you at long last no decency left, sir?
Didn't Tomasky say if they nominate Ted Cruz or I don't even know what, Rand Paul, they're like, I'm telling you right now, Hillary carries Georgia.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Georgia.
This makes Georgia. McConnell and Boehner's jobs virtually impossible, Barnett writes. Most Republican members of Congress are more responsive to Tea Party activists who could defeat them in a primary than the voters as a whole. And those Tea Party activists oppose compromise, even if doing so hurts the GOP because they're not all that invested in the fortunes of the GOP. Yeah, that's the bad news for them. The Tea Party doesn't, they think of them as their friends and their...
decidedly
they don't care, right? If there's a precedence for this, this is an interesting point he makes. It's what happened to Democrats between 68 and 72 when the party was taken over by anti-war civil rights and women's rights activists. The liberal activists of the 1960s cared a lot about their causes, but much less about the Democratic Party, which they associated with Lyndon Johnson's war in Vietnam. Today, Tea Party activists care a lot about their causes and much less about the Republican Party, which they associate with the big spending of George W. Bush. And he says, I'm not making a moral comparison. To my mind, the activists who entered the Democratic Party in the late 60s were heroes. Politically, however, they posed the same dilemma that Tea Party is posing for the GOP today. When your party's base doesn't care about the fate of your party, you have a problem. It's a problem that's tormenting Mitch McConnell and John Boehner every single day, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. That's why we got McGovern, right? And
I just feel tormented every day. Please don't go back to the tavern. Ah!
I think that this is the sound we are most going to be hearing from John Boehner.
I was not tormented.
That's better.
Yet another piece. We might as well use our fun facts because I think they are. We'll see how it all plays out. New York Times editorial, has the GOP gone off the deep end?
Computer says yes.
I think so. Splish splash. I think they've been taking a bath
Splish
for a while.
Splash, I've been taking a bath.
Thomas Doherty, he was a political enforcer for New York Governor George Pataki. He said, if Senate immigration bill gets ripped apart and ultimately defeated by House GOP, I've decided to leave my political home of 32 years plus. Hashtag sad. Doherty told me he has come to the conclusion the party has elements within it that dislike homosexuals and think America is still in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, again, they're out of step, according to every single poll. Doherty, no liberal, is representative of the growing strength of the right on the view that the Republican Party has gone off the deep end.
What would make you think we are in the 1940s?
Has gone off the deep end. Thank you. Jeb Bush, as we know, warned last year that both Ronald Reagan and his own father would have a hard time fitting into the contemporary Republican Party.
There I go again.
Which he said is dominated by an orthodoxy that does not allow for disagreement. All too often we've associated with being anti-everything. He said way too many people believe Republicans are anti-immigrant, yes. Mm-hmm. Anti-woman, yes. Anti-science, anti-gay, anti-worker, the list goes on and on. Bob Dole was asked, remember on Fox News, famously, could he fit in? He said, I doubt it. Reagan wouldn't have made it. Certainly Nixon wouldn't have made it because he had ideas. They wouldn't be in for Dick anymore. They ought to put a sign on the National Committee door that says closed for repairs, as we recall. Mike Lofgren, a staff member for 16 years on the Republican side of the aisle, said the Republican Party is becoming less and less like a traditional political party in a representative democracy and more like an apocalyptic cult.
Mm.
Or one of the intensely ideological authoritarian parties of the 20th century in Europe. Interesting. Norman Ornstein and Tom Mann, who we've had on.
That's right.
Scholars at the American Enterprise Institute and Brookings Institute. Said, let's just say it. They wrote that Washington Post piece. Remember, let's just say it. The Republicans are the problem. And this, mm-hmm. they are not, again, not liberals. There's a striking correlation between the rise of conservative talk radio and the difficulties of the Republican Party mm-hmm. in presidential elections. Reuters essay said right-wing talk show hosts turned the White House blue. They are helpful in that regard. You know what? They ought to put them on more stations. Because
sure.
they would be so helpful. There's a striking correlation between the rise of conservative talk radio and the difficulties of the Republican Party in presidential elections. A part of the Republican dilemma lies in the party's disproportionate dependence on white Southern voters. It is the Southern conservatives who, along with their Northern Tea Party colleagues, seek to kill immigration reform and who insisted on removing the food stamp program from the recently passed Farm Bill. These members of the House are what Fury describes as nostalgia Republicans who define conservatives as the ability to fight progress. The Republican Party is struggling to resolve the conflict between its pragmatic establishment wing and its ideological suicidal wing. And I say go with the Jim Jones wing, because mm-hmm. that, you know what? At least you have ideological purity.
Yeah,
and
have
that's
some Kool-Aid.
Yes. That's what's important.
Have some Kool-Aid with
Drink
your ideological
it.
Purity.
Cherry or grape? Maybe there's a deep end of Kool-Aid.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that? Yeah, they're not. They're not even in for Dick Nixon anymore. That's was my point. This is what I was, right. What I was saying.
Hello. Just a minute. Dick, are you in?
I'm always in for Dick.
Heavens, that's an old drop.
That's
okay.
Really old.
18 minutes
wow.
after. 18 minutes after the hour, right back.
She must be popular.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Just like yesterday. They don't get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again.
Yahoo! It is the Stephanie. Ooh, he's doing the big.
The windmill.
Big, yeah, the windmill. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
I think I threw out my shoulder.
Uh-oh, sorry about that. Okay. Hey, it's Tuesday, everybody. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, brought me back in with my boys. Very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
there you go.
I broke a guitar in my living room.
Charlie, you bring us a Today in Responsible Gun Ownership.
Hey, careful. I'm not on the blog this week now.
Uh-oh. All right, well, this is from whenever, but it's still good. We have a story a day,
yeah.
pretty much, about some ridiculous, stupid incident with a gun that would have ended completely differently without one,
mm-hmm.
with people being, for instance, alive, right?
Exactly.
Excuse me. Pardon me, I'm coughing up a lung. Don't mind me. But this one, it's just...
Courage, Camille.
I mean, on the heels of this whole, all the discussion over the Zimmerman trial, You highlighted the story, a group of family and friends on an annual float trip.
Oh, the
right?
Rafting guys.
Yes. Yes. Cousin goes into the woods to urinate. In so doing, he apparently ignited the ire of a property owner along the river, fed up with people traipsing on his property. James Crocker confronted the group with a 9mm handgun and an altercation over property rights, right, yada, yada, yada. He shoots the guy, right? He shoots a guy. Uh-huh. The shooting came as a culmination of the dispute over whether the group was trespassing or not. He fired a gun after a man approached him with rocks. The guy that he shot wasn't the one with the rocks.
No, absolutely
not. He said,
I
just
shot. The guy who shot was the guy who was handy.
Right. He goes, I just shot the one closest to me.
Oh, my God.
As you do.
You
shoot
say,
the one you're with.
You make the point. The gentleman does not seem like a particularly well-regulated militia to you.
No, not at all. If we're going to be absolutists about the Second Amendment, I don't think this is a well-regulated militia where you just start popping caps in at whoever it is with the person who came and peed on your lawn.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. But this is...
Why do I suspect alcohol was involved in this?
You think? What was the story yesterday about the woman that shot this family of seven? Thank God nobody was hurt because they turned around in her driveway?
They turned around in her driveway. That was earlier last week in responsible gun ownership. Yeah. The guy got lost. He was driving back from a vacation, and he went down this dirt road, which apparently eventually turned into this woman's driveway, and she's gotten fed up with lost tourists doing it. So she just opened fire from her porch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. And that one, shockingly, no one was hurt.
Yeah.
But anyway. I love your piece on A Magnificent Obsession. Earlier this week, it was revealed that the IRS dumbassery included some dumbassery aimed at liberal groups. And while the gang at Tiger Beat on the Potomac did their happy balance dance in a kind of frenzy throughout that piece, it's plain the only difference between liberals who got caught in that dumbassery and the conservatives who got caught up in the dumbassery was that the latter had access to some ambitious Congress curators and to Fox News. And then you, when you write about Peggy Noonan, it's the thing that
makes
me...
It's an easy column, and she can get done by happy hour.
Right. Before Chardonnay time, as Mama calls it.
That's right.
Right. You say, however, this information cannot penetrate the gentle twittering of the cartoon canaries that flit about the blonde head of our Lady of the Magic Dolphins. And so, again, she's back in the Wall Street Journal doing that chicken with unflagging enthusiasm. She said that, right? Like, oh, the whole next election cycle is going to hinge on the IRS scandal.
2014 is going to hinge on the IRS scandal because the answers to her fanciful questions have not yet appeared.
But I mean,
one of which I believe is the old Bill Cosby query, why is there air?
Exactly. To blow up volleyballs
blow up
and basketballs.
And did everybody my age and younger memorize every one of those albums? Because you cannot make an early Cosby reference without somebody laughing.
I memorized that particular album.
Yes. What's the Cubit?
That's right. Chicken Heart ate New York City. Dum, 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 dum.
As you sum up, the targeting of conservative groups, there was none. The IRS leadership's public lies about it, there were none. The leaking of private tax information to liberal groups or journalists, independent evidence of this is ahem, not compelling. Once again, I know they're there, and yet it's just they're gonna keep at it.
Yeah, I think this one may be dead though. I think they're more concentrating on this 11 dimensional chess thing with Obamacare now. I think it'll pop up again probably sometime in certain congressional races. But I think as a national scandal, this is now limited to the voices in Peggy Noonan's head who are angrily disputing the details of the story.
11D is a Bill Cosby word.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
Do you want to take the rest of the time to talk about Jell-O pudding puffs?
Guys, the Stooges and Bill Cosby, believe me.
I love the Stooges. I have disproven that theory. I am a chick that loves the Three Stooges.
Who is this really?
Oh, my God. Really? You too? Okay. Go ahead. Discuss Jell-O pudding pops. I will just wait over here.
No, this is the Lord. This is pre-Jell-O pudding.
Yeah. Back when it was funny.
How long can you tread water? Somewhere out there, the cause is enjoying this. Because I'm sure he's a regular listener.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, God. Charlie, you're a giggly this morning, and I like you that way.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. My friend, we are out of time. We are at a hard break, as they say in the radio business.
Is that what they say?
Man. As they say in the New York mayor's race, too.
You got one in. You slipped one in at the end. All right.
Talk to you next week.
So to speak. Love you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Goodbye, or as Bill Cosby would say.
The real snatches.
Exactly. Okay, 29 minutes after
10,000 blue cookies under the table.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
don't know what...
Stephanie Miller.
...is, but I have to imagine it's a foul, disease-ridden thing that wears too much makeup to cover up the fact that it's a 47-year-old fish dog.
47-year-old?
47.
Close enough. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jan in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you're very negative with your opinion of church people and Southerners and Republicans, and it's not true.
Okay, based on what that I said?
Well, you think all three of those groups are crazy and don't know what they're talking about.
Really?
And,
have I ever said that?
The indication is definitely there.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
What gave you that indication?
Anyone that has a different point of view than yourself, they're wrong and you're all right.
Hmm.
And that's not true.
Okay. Well, like what?
We
for
don't
instance,
agree with each other.
Yeah.
We mostly don't agree with each other. What have I said that you disagree with?
Well, you've made fun of church people, and
in what way?
Well, they don't know anything. They don't think
we like the
liberal.
New pope.
They don't think liberal, so they don't know anything.
Well, no. Many church people do think liberal. We've had the Reverend Jim Wallace on many times. He's an evangelical who is also a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
The Reverend Jim Wallace of Sojourners.
I'm not familiar with him.
Well, of course you're not, because
so.
You only think for yourself. You know.
Okay,
I'm just not familiar with everybody. You know?
Right, right. Well, I don't know specifically what I've said, but I am not against church people. Or Southerners, or my whole family lives in the South. Did you know that?
Where in the South?
Well, thank you for asking. Charlotte, North Carolina, and also Lynchburg, Virginia.
Great. Because my relations are from the South. And both my mother and my father were raised on farms.
Uh-huh.
So they're hard workers.
Sure.
And immigrants, they're hard workers.
You know, most Republicans
people.
Voted against the farm bill, for instance. Did you know that?
I think because there was a lot of waste connected with it.
You mean like food stamps going to poor people?
You know, food stamps are there. I don't know. We just can't be the giveaway program.
Right.
You've got to work, and then you earn something.
Sure.
So I worked for what I have in life, and I didn't ask for a handout. But and that's
not everybody's as lucky as you, ma'am.
What do you think about? What did you think about the new pope saying that if someone is gay, who is he to judge them?
Gays. Well, gays are not right because it goes against God.
Right, but the Pope just said, "Who is he to judge them?"
The Pope, I think, has has God's ear.
Well, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh boy!
Right,
and if people doesn't think that God will destroy Sodom and Gomorrah,
that was about the rape of angels. That wasn't about homosexuality. It was about the rape of angels.
It was about promiscuity, basically, not about homosexuality.
Well, all of this sexual sins are all lumped together. Sexual sin is sexual sin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Jan, I enjoyed our conversation.
Well, I'd wanted to give my opinion, but...
All right.
We've had you on longer than we have most callers on.
All right. And thank you for calling.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Dead air.
She seemed
dead
to
air.
Need a little
dead
time
air. Dead
to
dead
gather her thoughts.
Bless her heart.
I
need some time to
gather. All right. Hey, everybody clear. Okay.
All
right. Gay.
Thoughts.
Gay bad. Okay. So she hates Pope Francis, I guess. Okay. Here he is.
If someone is gay,
the word gay
and he searches for the
Yikes.
Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge?
Yes, he is the first pope to ever use the word gay.
Sono io.
Mm-hmm.
Jordi Carle.
Which is actually kind of historic.
Yeah. Well, he's a Jesuit. I mean, he's the liberal wing of the
Catholic
Church. Why does Jan hate the Pope so much, I wonder?
Well.
All right.
She's probably one of those people that thinks, you know, Catholics are cultish. There's an evangelical thread going through.
I apologize.
They're not really Christians. Well,
there are some evangelicals that think that.
If I have implied that some Southern Republicans are homophobic bigots.
Well, you know,
gays
God.
She was very breathy.
She seemed just exasperated with you, Stephanie. You exasperated her.
I don't know what to do with that response.
How dare you pick apart her arguments?
All right. Anyway.
You know, Jesus, the gays,
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, that's why. And then also,
All right, anyway, apologize.
God.
For referring to all Southern Christian as homophobic bigots. However, Louisiana sheriff claims he did not know anti-sodomy laws weren't valid anymore.
Yeah, there's this. Oops.
Sorry, Dan. However, the East Baton Rouge
sheriff... When that happened, had I missed that?
The East Baton Rouge sheriff who used Louisiana's defunct anti-sodomy law to arrest more than a dozen gay men since 2011
you what.
Now says he did not know the law was invalidated by the Supreme Court.
He is the chief law officer of East Baton Rouge,
what
and
now?
He doesn't know the law?
Lincoln Freed who?
Who?
What
who
now? What has happened?
Well, as I recall, we won the War of Northern Aggression.
To our knowledge, the sheriff's office was never contacted or told that the law was not enforceable or prosecuted. Pick up a newspaper, you redneck morons!
Oh, see, now there you go. Judging Southern religious people.
From the sheriff's office. At first, a spokesman for the sheriff told the newspaper it didn't matter that the Supreme Court ruled anti-sodomy laws unconstitutional a decade ago. It's still on the books in Louisiana, so they were still arresting men for it. But not the girls, though, right?
Of course not.
We're not talking about the girls.
Yeah, that's a horse of a different
color.
We'll
need to put that under surveillance for a little while longer before we decide if that's dirty.
Yeah, we're going to need a lot more evidence to decide just how dirty
you
it
girls
is.
You keep going, no, that's not dirty enough yet. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're getting there. You're getting there. Oh yeah.
Oh.
Woo, doggy!
Okay. On Sunday, though, the sheriff's office issued a lengthy news statement on Facebook claiming the officers had not set out with the intent to target or embarrass any part of our law-abiding community. The statement explains the strange logic officers followed. Starting with the belief that children were in danger. Will somebody please think about the children? In the park where police met the men and the deputies.
Somebody please think of the children!
They said the deputies used a statute they felt fit the situation. To be clear, according to the newspaper's report, undercover officers picked up gay men at a local park and lured them back to the privacy of their apartments. Then they were arrested.
That sounds like entrapment.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that. I'm sorry, Church Lady Jan from Ohio, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, the gays, they, you know, God, Sodom, well, you know, not everyone in the South,
okay.
In Revelation.
All right, thanks, Jen. Thanks, Jen. All right, Mark in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Long-time listener. Listen,
thank
that
you.
Church lady, I think her brain exploded.
Yeah.
And she didn't even know I have the gay on me. I don't even think we got to that part.
Yeah, it's a shame. People can't change.
Oh, well. Oh, dear. All right. James in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Stephanie, you're gay?
What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I'm in that lump of sins that Jan spoke of. That whole lump of sexual sins.
but I am the official truck driving minister of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
And I just called to set Jan straight and maybe get you guys together. We just have to keep in mind that Jan and people like her are what I like to call Old Testament Christians. They like to keep going back and quoting the Old Testament and forget it was the under the New Testament Christ came, and now we live under grace,
right,
not the law.
The right.
Sermon has ended. Go in peace.
Right. Yes, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Go in peace, my child. Yeah, I think that's always the response when we say something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, Jan, I have a question for you. So, gays are in the whole sexual, what about, should we kill people that eat shrimp? And
well, you know, I don't like shrimp.
Okay,
or GD shrimp. I think
okay, Pat.
They're like they're pretending to be lobster, but they're not.
Langoustinos are against the Lord.
Yep.
Okay, Pat in Chicago. Hi, Pat in Chicago.
Hi there. You had a segment on your previous segment. You were talking about how the Nouveau Republicans are anti-gay, anti-woman, anti-liberal, anti-science, right, etc. Sounds a lot like they're the devil to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Except, well, you know, what do you call it? Like one religion. What am I thinking of?
Theocracy?
Yes, Baha'i. Theocracy is all the same. Thank you. Nobody help me. Claire.
Not Baha'i.
Ray in Louisiana.
Come on, don't fly away, fly away.
Hello, Ray.
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess all the rest of your calls already picked up on the point about the church lady. What I was going to say, man, to me, man, a sin is a sin. I don't see nowhere in the Bible say one sin is greater than another sin. All these Bible thumpers, and it also says in the Bible, you know, feed the poor. They don't say nothing about that.
Right.
Because they take care of my brother, you know what I'm saying?
Judge not yet, lest ye sin be judged.
My brother's keeper.
Right.
I mean, they take things out the Bible and that benefit them, you know
exactly
what I'm saying? But look how we treat each other.
Yep.
That's not in the Bible. Bill Pritchard had somebody here, a reverend on this show this morning. Man, that was good, because he
had Reverend Jim Wallace on this morning.
There you go. He doesn't count because she's never heard of him. Have you, Jan? Jan, have you heard of Reverend Jim Wallace?
No. I'm not familiar with him. He can't be a real Christian.
He can't be a real reverend.
If he was on that show.
I love I'm not familiar with everybody. Bless her heart.
I'm not familiar.
Of course, none of us are familiar with everybody.
But he's a reverend of note.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know.
Okay.
Well.
40. You know what? I just want to, like, she's like my niece. I just want to blow her nose. Come here. Here's next.
Yeah. Just blow.
Just
come
here,
on, blow.
Blow. It's okay. Okay. Don't be afraid to blow, Jen. It's not in that lump of sexual.
Sorry,
sins.
What?
47
that's,
minutes.
That's sodomy.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Write that down. You have to get up to get down.
Yes.
Okay. Please make a note of it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jan, church lady.
What? You know, God and. You know, homosexuals, I'm not familiar with...
With them?
Any, no.
No, not familiar with that. Okay.
But sex is bad.
Sex is bad.
Please, everybody, have some freshly half-baked thoughts from Jan in Ohio. Let's go to Jake in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Hi. Go ahead.
I was going to talk about Boehner being an idiot and everything, but a couple things for Jan. Number one, I'm a liberal, a big liberal, and I'm not defending Jan, but, you know, come on, you're a liberal, right, Stephanie?
Right.
Well, how come you resort to name-calling, like church lady and redneck moron? You know,
I didn't call her a redneck moron. I called the Louisiana Sheriff's Department redneck morons because they didn't realize the anti-sodomy laws have been overturned
10 years
by the
ago.
Supreme Court a decade ago.
I know, but redneck's a derogatory term. And how come, you know...
Well, if you're a redneck moron, it is.
Well, church lady, look, let me just explain real quick what she was trying to say. And I understand she was intimidated by you guys and everything. And when it comes to the farm bill, I'm a liberal. I understand what she was trying to say. She was just trying to say, I think, that if people are going to get food stamps, I don't think she's against food stamps. I think she wants people to have to show that they're at least looking for work and not, like, year after year collecting food stamps
right.
without even trying.
She's selective in her Bible, you know, selections, like Michelle Bachmann, that he who shall not work shall not eat.
Mm-hmm.
So as an excuse to cut all food stamps is
mm-hmm.
what I'm guessing.
That's right.
I just was trying to suss out whether she realized... If she's Republican, that in her she comes from hardworking farm stock, that Republicans today are not for the farm bill.
The farm bill.
I just
mm-hmm.
was inquiring.
Right.
Okay, Tanya in Washington, D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tanya.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mokes. I love you guys.
Hello.
Thank you.
Well, and can I just say for the gentleman who was just on the phone and also church lady, first of all, where are these people coming from that they want to call in and dictate to you how to do your show. I love it when you guys come up with these things. It's very funny anyway. I love it.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, so now let me get to why I called.
Well, you know why you say that? Because you're not a redneck bigot.
I guess so. But why I actually called is, you know, if they would watch something other than Fox News, they would actually find out that most of these people that are on, that are getting food stamps, they work.
Right.
But they're not making a livable wage
right.
where they can pay their mortgage
right.
or their rent and pay their utilities
that's
and
right.
be able to
they
put
are
food
the,
on the table.
They are the working
and,
poor.
And I really don't understand. So what if someone wants to steal $50 in food stamps so they can buy food?
Right.
If people want to eat.
Right.
And I don't understand why people have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. And these are people that go, they're supposedly church Christian people.
Yeah.
We're supposed to take care of the poor and the
right.
needy.
That was one of the main things Jesus talked about, feeding the poor, correct?
I don't get it. I don't
Wait
understand.
A minute. Jesus was a communist.
Exactly.
I just figured it out.
Jan, how do you feel about the poor eating?
Oh, God.
I don't think they really should. It's, you know,
most
that's
of the,
why the poor...
Most of the poor are fat, anyway.
That's, you know, they're obviously eating too much, so...
Dave in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dave.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I called in before. Our mothers share a birthday and rigid ideology, and they are both breast cancer survivors.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, I was calling for the House of Worship woman... because I don't want to be derogatory and
no.
say, you know, church lady.
Yeah.
she talked about
lady.
Yes. She talked about Sodom and Gomorrah, and a lot of people forget the rest of the story with Lot.
As Paul Harvey would say, please tell us the rest of the story.
Now the rest
of the story.
Of the
well,
story.
After, you know, Lot's wife was turned to salt, so his two daughters and he were living in a cave, and the daughters were concerned that their bloodline would not be carried on. So they got Lot drunk and had sex with him
yeah.
to impregnate themselves.
All right.
And so apparently incest okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't
and
see
so,
how that works with
yeah.
the Bible. I just don't
And let me just say,
that.
Even if Lot's wife was a pillar of salt, Bob Filner would still have wanted to lick her. Do you know what I'm saying?
Salt lick.
I'll bring you back to life.
Saliva dripping down her cheek. Ew.
Okay, Murnie in Michigan, you're on the, when Hot Brie comes in here, do not put her in a Filner headlock.
Nah.
Do not do it. Murnie in Michigan.
Now you're giving me ideas.
Oh, man. Hey, guys. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
I just wanted to comment, I am so tired and sorry, Jan, but this is going more towards the Southerners. People like Ted Cruz making comments when they come from states that take 1.5 to 2 times the amount of money from the federal government, that states like Michigan, including Detroit, pay at least 1.5 times more than we get back. You know, I don't think they have any room to make any comments about that. And as far as Boehner being worried about the XL pipeline, that's because he's got investment money tied up in it, and he can't wait for all the bucks to start rolling in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ted Cruz, a.k.a. the chef from Ratatouille, needs to go back to judging someone's bouillabaisse. Leave the poor people of Detroit alone. All right. Hot Free in the City, activist Melissa Fitzgerald joins us next on The Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, he already filnered her. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I am so sorry. Activist Melissa Fitzgerald is here and has already been.
Speaking of Filnard, have you seen the latest thing? He wants the taxpayers of San Diego to pay for his legal bills.
Wow.
For his two-week rehab?
And for his legal bills fighting all of these sexual harassment lawsuits.
I'll give him some free rehab.
She said with a cartoon fist.
Yeah.
You can give
him. Swilly the fisticuffs.
We could give him some fun facts on what girls, what chicks dig and what chicks do not get dig. First, Filner headlock. Headlock?
No.
Ever been effective for you? No.
Thumbs down?
Yeah. What was the other thing you said, Chris?
Oh, he licked the side of a woman's cheek so that saliva dripped down her cheek.
Hot.
Yeah, that's
right?
Disgusting.
Hot.
That's
hot,
like
hot.
A wet willy. That's
and
gross.
He also caressed the side of a woman's cheek and said, "Do you have a man to keep you company?"
Ugh.
No.
Well, you know, I'm a dog owner, Max and Fred. I was thinking some sort of, like a, you know, shock collar of some sort is what we've done.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh,
no. We need one for you because Melissa kissed him hello and he was like, that's my shade of lipstick.
Ow!
What? The wax back guy.
Jim turns into wax that guy. Tony Ross is here. Stop it. No, not that either.
Favorite commercial ever. Ever in the history of ever. I love it. And I love the way you do it.
Just to stop that sound in the first place. Guess who's coming in? Melissa Fitzgerald.
Ow!
All right, good. Just don't do it. Don't say it. All right.
Plus you thousands of dollars.
Right. All right. We, guess what? Oh, you posted this on our Facebook page.
I did.
Because Jim is hoping for this, for Melissa and I to bookend him like we did Bill Nye, which made him a rocket to the top of the 22 all-time hottest hunks of PBS at the inauguration.
Yeah,
we were in ball gowns, and we have sandwiched him.
The hunks of PBS?
Did you see that list? Charlie Rose is on that list.
Hey, Charlie Rose is hot. He's smart.
He's smart, but...
Right? That's hot. Smart's hot.
Smart is hotter than a facial lick.
Smart is hotter than anything.
Right.
I think.
At least Jim Lehrer's not on it.
That's because we did not bookend him at the inauguration.
And perhaps his performance at the debate.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
there's that.
Right.
Although I think we rocketed Bill Nye from at least 20, 21 to 16.
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah.
He was so excited.
That BuzzFeed link is posted up on your Facebook page. So look at number 16.
Yeah, that's us. He was so excited. He like poked himself with his pocket protector.
Ow!
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 Melissa turns everybody into wax fat guy. All right, because we've been talking, you and Jackie and I have been talking about the, obviously, the whole Wiener scandal and all of that stuff. But
it's the Wiener.
Yes, I did. All right. Wiener Filner, Wiener Spitzer, Wiener Filner, just, you know, pick one.
Mm.
But Tina Brown wrote a good piece in the Daily Beast, When Middle-Aged Libido Meets a Whiff of Power, Chaos Strikes Our Political Process. But it's like the joke I always do. In my act about Hillary Clinton, that, you know, she's not the State Department going, who wants to see a picture of my foggy bottom? Women just generally behave like this. And her piece goes to why that's why there should be more women in power.
Absolutely. Do you think men would be behaving like this if they had colleagues that were on their same, you know, power position?
Right.
No, I don't think they would. I absolutely know that they wouldn't. They wouldn't get away with it for a second.
We loved Nancy Pelosi. She gave them the grandma face. She's like, what? Just with these men. Really?
Hey, Madam Secretary, get a load of this.
Dianne Feinstein.
I don't think that somebody who is lacking a moral compass really sets a role model or really will provide the kind of leadership that San Diegans want.
The best thing we like, that right, that Nancy Pelosi said is these guys, what's worse is they don't get it.
Yeah.
That Anthony Weiner's
what? What I do? What?
But he's on camera going, oh, six?
Ten? 10? 50? I don't know.
Women? Who can say what other people think's inappropriate?
Yeah, I mean, there is, you know, I think most people can agree, inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like starting at one when, yeah, your wife is pregnant, probably a little inappropriate.
But I think that is interesting about more women needing to run, and that it will prevent a lot of things and make things a lot better. And what's interesting is that we're not running at the same rate as men are.
Unless they're Michelle Bachmann.
Speaks our future congresswoman from the great state of Pennsylvania.
Although I will miss Michelle Bachmann. I am. I'm on record. I'm going to miss her terribly.
You'll still have Marsha Blackburn.
It's the end of comedy.
Not the same.
It's the end, Jehovah God, the end is near. It is the end of comedy when she and her big gay husband.
The day is at hand.
Oh, golly.
We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
I think Marsha Blackburn has the potential to live up to
really
that kind of craziness. I think she does.
Does she have a big gay husband?
She's been tamped down.
I think you're right. She'll fill that
she'll
void.
Fill that
the
void.
Crazy boy.
Yeah, she will.
You're right. It's a good point.
Step into the crazy boy.
Was she married to Jim J. Bullock? I don't know.
I'm not saying things are over for Marcus, because for Marcus, there's always another opening, another show. Because he feels super.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need disciplined. To be disciplined.
No, he's fine. He's super.
I'm super! All right. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super, and nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
That's why, anyway, Tina Brown is writing. People are taking another look at Christine Quinn, because they're like, at least we won't see pictures of her hoo-ha flying over the internet. And
as far as we know.
As far as we know.
We can't be guaranteed of that.
We can't be guaranteed of anything, but generally speaking, I think women are doing this a lot less than men are doing it in general. And, you know, I think the other thing that's interesting about why women aren't running, it's because we feel that we need to be more prepared. Men don't actually care. They're like, hey, I'm awesome, I'm going to run, I'm going to win. And we feel like, oh gosh, I need to study more, I need to work harder, I need to be more prepared, I'm not ready. And you know what, it's not true. We just need to run and get in there.
Well, that's the thing that comes out of this whole story, is Wiener's amazing ego more than anything else, and that he thinks he's, I mean, that's the kind of... It's interesting. Well, you've talked about this, what happened to Ashley Judd in Kentucky, about the slut-shaming her before she's even run. I mean, you are concerned about that, although if you were a slut, Jim would certainly know about it by now.
slut! She's a slut!
But this is true. You're right. Women have it. And that's interesting. Since you're right, since men are generally doing more of this pervy stuff, that women are the ones...
I just hope Mitch McConnell isn't doing that.
Oh, I hope there are no shellless pictures of me.
I just think I'm going to vibe.
No. But anyway, Tina Brown makes the point on the Daily Beast. She says the no secrets era of social media makes one consider the built-in risk factor of nominating high testosterone men to positions of power at all. Because it's not like every news cycle has one of these. It's not like this is a new thing and everybody goes, what is with these guys?
Who wants to look at my schmants? Nobody?
Okay. Nobody. Thanks. Everyone is under too much scrutiny now to take a chance on candidates who suddenly blow up into a comic meme, a punchline, a ribald hashtag. And she says, our same point. Think about some of our prominent women in Washington right now. Can you ever imagine, forgive me, Secretary Kathleen Sebelius uploading a crotch shot of herself on Instagram? Ooh, or Janet?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Of course you would.
Thank you, Jim, for playing Proving Our Point exactly. Janet Yellen ordering up male hookers during downtime at the Federal Reserve. It's preposterous.
Perhaps what's she yelling about?
God. You know what? We flipped the filter button earlier in the show, and now you can't flip it off. Anyway, but she says perhaps we need some kind of sexual DUI test developed to tell us what is likely to happen when middle-aged libido meets a whiff of power. And that's because it just, and right now we're saying it happens to be all Democrats in the news cycle, which, you know. with, by the way, ironically making Mike Murphy on Meet the Press want to pleasure himself on camera.
He was so happy
and giddy.
So satisfied and just so pleased with himself.
Yep.
He seems somewhat reticent to talk about Sanford, and it was the last one, Vitter. I don't know why. So weird.
Yeah, I don't think a party owns this at all.
No, no.
Yeah, it's dudes. Anyway, yeah. The only other two things, Jim, we were talking about this the other day, she brings it even out of politics, but just to a man thing. I did not know this, but you mentioned about the Spain, the train crash.
Mm.
She was
bragging about it. Hey, look how fast I'm going.
Ugh. Right, like a testosterone, a machismo thing. Tina Brown writes, the Concordia is Captain Schettino. Remember the...
Yeah.
Was carousing with a blonde and had revved the ship's speed up to a dangerous 16 knots before it foundered off the coast of Tuscany.
Well,
and the out-of-control 52-year-old Spanish train driver guffawed on Facebook, what a blast it would be to go parallel with the Guardia Civil Spanish Police and go past them triggering the radar. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You know, what a fine.
Dead.
Yeah.
Well, of course the Italian captain was cavorting with a blonde. He's Italian, for God's sake. I mean...
Wow, all right, just a little whiff of racism in there as well,
that's comparing him to Berlusconi. I mean, people in power in Italy do. It's kind of expected.
I don't know why you had to do that, Chris. That was painting with kind of broad Sicilian brush, wasn't it? anyway, Tina finishes just by saying, ha ha, right, or as Winter would say, two or three sextings after he resigned from Congress, whatever. When I read that he took off Saturday from campaigning, I thought he might be behind closed doors repairing the wounds of his family. No, it turns out he was shooting an ad in his apartment. No wonder his campaign manager quit. And
wow.
So he says the trouble with Carlos and his ilk is they're not just a danger to themselves, but a danger to everyone else. One look at the humiliated face of the elegant Huma Abedin, a spear carrier for Hillary Clinton's women's empowerment message, will tell you that. And you had some thoughts on the whole, on Huma, because everybody is, you know, some people are going, oh, you're being too hard on her for being complicit. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we have to separate the public versus the private. And what really makes me angry is when people are making judgments about her private decision on what she wants to do in her marriage. And either calling her brave or calling her a coward or calling her anything is completely out of line. I think what she wants to do in her marriage is her business. I don't know the ins and outs of her marriage. It's none of my business. What is my business is, you know, when Wiener stands up and lies to us and spends campaign money, people's hard-earned money, to chase a red herring, a phony baloney, like, who hacked my account?
Oh, I know. He
that
spent
is
taxpayer
my
money.
Did
you know that?
Yeah.
To investigate who hacked his Twitter account.
That is my business.
Was it taxpayer money or was it campaign money?
No, not taxpayer money. It was campaign money.
Yeah. No, and this is that's what I was saying is the political wrinkle in this. It's not that he lied to his wife. You're right. That's their business. It's that he lied to all of us. He said, give me a second chance, and I have changed. And
He lied to his supporters who gave him money.
Yeah, and David Axelrod said it. He said, you know, we'll give you a second chance, a third chance. You know, it's probably time to go.
And he continued to lie. I mean, I think he asked for forgiveness for, you know, using that money. He asked for forgiveness for the first act, all the while continuing the behavior. And I just think that's totally outrageous. And I'm done with you. You know, I am done.
Well, the Clintons want him to be done. That's, you know, the news this morning is that they're really, you know, clearly this is not good for, you know, a Hillary run. I mean, I agree with you. I'm really starting to feel bad for her. First of all, I was saying if I were pregnant, which I know is a little beyond the realm of
hysterical.
Shut up. It could have happened.
There are so many reasons why you would never be pregnant.
It means.
Happened. No.
My point is, if I were, you know,
Judy Tunita wouldn't say that.
Yeah, no.
It could happen. No.
My friend Judy Tunita would say it could happen.
No.
All right. My point is this. I was reading about when they met, and they said they were these, you know, these two young, hyperactive, you know, political brains that clicked, and I think that that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there you are, you're in the marriage, and you're pregnant. I mean, I get her original decision. It's just, you know, so.
And look, I've been married, and I know that, you know, you make decisions within a marriage that you don't anticipate you would necessarily make before you're married or when you're not in it, and you don't know the ins and outs. And And I'm very careful to judge people on what they do within the context of their own marriage. I will say that when she stood up and said, you know, supporting him, continuing to support him for the campaign, I'm fine with criticizing her for that, for supporting him as a candidate. But yeah. I will not criticize her for what she decides to do within her marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think it's inappropriate for anyone to, frankly.
All right. Well, she's taking a stand, ladies and gentlemen. Just back on down the road. All right. Because, like Jackie Schechner, pretty, but we'll cut a bit.
That's right.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, we have sitcom nephew stories. We have something very important humanitarian work that she's doing, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Jim.
Yes. I'm aware of that.
Right. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bob Pilner?
Oh, yeah. It's Bob Pilner's sex song.
Offensive
yeah.
and catchy.
Yeah. Which is why it is Satan's music.
It is.
It's
Satan
a
had a theme song, right?
It's a Fenchy.
Right.
You said catchy. You love the song. Yeah. Hate the words. Hate the video.
I do.
Yeah.
I hate the video with
yeah.
a white hot passion.
Right.
I don't like the words, but the tune is so catchy.
But you can't stop dancing because you know you want it because you're a good girl. All right. Yeah, that's well. I told you the part I hate is when he blows smoke in her face, because you know you want it—cancer from secondhand smoke. Take it, do it. You know you want it. Okay.
The video is so objectifying, and
you'd think he was Italian.
See, did someone just tweet something pervy?
Yes.
Right, and proving your point. Italian man.
Some guy named Dylan tweeted to me, "I'm half Sicilian, would love to paint with your idea of a broad brush."
Oh, my.
What does that mean?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
All right.
Huh? Proving our point entirely about Italians.
It's like, you know, like men like Filner, if they're going to perv out, at least do it well. Really? If you're going to have an avocation, a hobby.
I'd like to paint your fence with a broad brush.
What?
Yeah. Remember the last guy that called?
We all get it.
Remember the guy that called to pick up Jackie? He's like, I got some health care for you. Oh, my God. Hire a writer. Something. Really? Find out what chicks dig, at least, if you're going to be a perv.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, we were finishing up about the Wiener scandal, and you were talking about Huma. So, because you specifically, Jackie said, I think what Jackie was saying, what bothered her was people calling her brave. So Jackie was not calling her this or that. She was commenting on.
She
objected to people calling her brave for staying.
I agree with that.
And she said it for, you know, letting a man mistreat you.
I think that, but that's, we don't know if she's being mistreated. That's
right.
Her call, her decision, and I think it's really judgmental to actually make that call. I don't know the inside of their marriage. I don't know.
Right.
So to say that she's brave or to say that she's weak is also not
right.
my place.
Right.
And I don't have the info.
Right.
I don't have the intel.
I need the info.
You're the boss. You're the boss. You need the info.
You need the info, yes.
Right.
And could someone also bring her a couple of friggin' sharks, if you don't mind?
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
With the info on the Wiener marriage.
That's right.
No, but we were saying until you've been in a relationship and screwed one up. Hello, I'm Exhibit A. Yeah. Mm. I'm Exhibit A. But is it?
And
you're
I
right.
am too.
You don't know the realities or what you would do in a specific situation, because there are all things we've done where we've gone, oh, I would never do that, or I would never stay if this happened, or I would never, and you don't know.
Absolutely. You don't know until you're in it, and you don't know until you know what the details are and what the person
right.
is willing to do to get help or whatever
that
it is.
That is the magic of love in life. Is it not, Chris? Just when you think I've made every mistake in the world, I find a new one to make.
Oh, believe me, I've made all of them.
Right? Exactly. Well, because you tend to be with people that have jars of hearts and ice inside their soul. Anyway.
There's
what?
That.
What?
Huh?
It's a Christina
Nothing.
Perry song. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
It's a song that sticks for both of us.
Yeah, it didn't sound like Katy
right.
Perry. No.
Although, as you know, I am happy now because I am engaged to your 9-year-old nephew, James.
I know. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
So happy for you guys.
I don't think that's legal.
Yeah. I talked to him on the phone, and he's like, my aunt showed me your picture on the internet, and you look a lot younger than she said. Would you marry me? The sitcom nephews, right. He said, would you marry me? I said, yes. And he said, well, could we say you're 40? I said, sure, because that was a little embarrassing. And he goes, you know what, why don't we just say you're 15? I said, okay. There have got to be airbrushers talented enough here in Hollywood.
There are not.
I talked him out of it, though. I did. I had to sit down with him.
How do you feel about Cleveland?
It was only after your six-year-old nephew, Russell, rejected me, because I told him, I was on the phone, and I said, my nephew is 43. And he said, how old are you?
Oh, that's tragic.
Which he's also said to me. So that's
so I was kind of, James's sloppy seconds. But we have another sitcom nephew story, and then the important humanitarian work, Jim, that
right.
Melissa does.
Yes, she's that's where we're
talking
here.
About next.
And, of course, this is James.
All right.
The music.
There you go.
Yeah.
See?
Uh-huh.
But for my fiance.
Oh,
next, more Hot Brie on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Day the
Stephanie Miller
hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Mm-hmm. 34 minutes after the hour. Hot Brie activist Melissa Fitzgerald live in studio with us. Oh, your first love letter from Tony in Quad Cities. Steph, WTF, Melissa's been married before? No! It ruins all the dreams I've had while sitting here in the basement of my parents' trailer.
Basement of a trailer? So that's the comedy.
Right.
You see.
Sorry about that. I am engaged to your 9-year-old nephew.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you, James. Well, my job attracted them because you describe my...
Very excited that you work, your office is Captain America's underpants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And no skid marks.
No.
Oh, I didn't tell them that, but they were very excited. Like, how do I get a job like that?
And I have a fart machine.
They love that part of it. Love it. Because they have them. We have the remote control kind and the actual whoopee cushion old school.
Ah. See, I have a chance in that age group, Chris, because their ideas are not that formed about what... they also had ideas about who they wanted their wives to be. Your nephews.
Oh, yeah.
The sitcom nephews.
We were talking about, you know, if you know, you get married someday. He's like, yeah, I definitely want my wife to have a job. And
right.
And James is, I would like her to work at GameStop. And I would like mine to work at Target.
Right.
I think they were seeing like discounts on toys and games.
they actually grow up, they'll be WTF with this paycheck, honey. Get a real job.
Do you want to be married to Kristen Wiig's character, the Target lady?
The Target.
No,
Jackpot. Jackpot.
All right, what is your latest sitcom nephew story, and then we will go on to important humanitarian work.
Oh, yeah, one of my other nephews from my other
brother.
She
has like 1,000 nephews. It's
five.
Like the Waltons over there.
It's crazy. And we were all together.
Oh, it takes forever.
We were all together the other weekend. And they did, when I was swimming in the pool with them, they're like, wait, how old are you again? Are you 78? I'm like, no, I'm not 78. I'm 48. And they're like, whatever.
What's the difference?
The same thing. But my other nephew, Mac, is... totally. He's the one who's into spiders and Gila monsters and all that stuff. But I was telling him I went scuba diving, and he said, did you see any piranhas there? And I said, I don't think I did. And he said, well, you just be careful. If a fish is being nice to you, don't believe him.
Don't
it's a piranha. Wow. He's just trying to trick you, and he will eat your eye and you. And then he claps, dead.
Maybe he meant barracuda.
Barracuda.
Or Sharknado.
He's a heart fan.
But I just was like, really? How am I going to know if a fish is being nice to me and trying to trick me?
Right. How would a fish be nice to you? Exactly. Sitcom nephew. All right. Let's go to the important humanitarian work that Jim has been waiting to hear about all morning.
Yes. Serious show about serious issues.
He doesn't care that dress you wore. He doesn't care what you want to talk about. But anyway, this is actually important because you did the documentary, which is fabulous, and we highly recommend it, called After Coney.
That's right.
How does one get that?
Oh, one can go on, oddly enough, AfterConeyTheMovie.com.
Mm-hmm. AfterConeyTheMovie.com. And I'm guessing there will magically be a link up at StephanieMiller.com.
I'm putting it up right now.
Oh,
thank
you. I bet you are. Someone might have been a little late on that. Okay.
But it does give you a sense...
Go ahead.
I'm happy it's going up. Thank you very much.
That's what you said. But
yes, thank you, Chris. Why, thank you for your attention to this matter.
Jim, that was bad. Dirty minded. But, I do think it's important to get a sense of what, you know, the destruction and devastation that the Lord's Resistance Army has has enacted upon the people of Central Africa.
That was Joseph Kony's army.
Yes, Joseph Kony, the Lord's Resistance Army. And right now, until just next week, there is a campaign that has been launched called Zero LRA, Zero Lord's Resistance Army, Zero LRA. And there are two organizations, well, three, but two that I work very closely with, the Enough Project, and their website is enoughproject.org. And then Invisible Children, invisiblechildren.com. And I really encourage people to go on because this campaign is to ask us citizens to call our elected officials, to tweet our elected officials, you know, our congressperson and our two senators. And it's really easy. You put in your zip code and they'll tell you who to do it to. And they'll give you and I would say make the phone call. It's worth it. It really matters and it really moves the needle. These offices respond to it. And what we're asking for is for the president and for us to allocate in the budget, which has already been allocated, but specifically to continue the 100 U.S. military advisors who are now in Uganda working with the Ugandan right. military to capture Joseph Kony and his top commanders and remove them from the field, and also to encourage abducted child soldiers to return home. And it has been such an incredibly successful campaign, and it came out of the Lord's Resistance Army Disarmament Northern Uganda Recovery Act of 2010 that I worked very hard on and the thousands of citizens worked really hard on. And it has resulted in, you know, once the military advisors arrived in 2011, there have been, I think, a 63% decrease in killings by the Lord's Resistance Army. They have the combatants on the field are down to about 150, and in the past 15 months, two of Joseph Kony's top commanders have been removed from the field, and that's huge.
Right.
Because
you said even if the child soldiers come home, they'll just recruit more unless you can get him.
That's
eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
If the top commanders are still at large, then Joseph Kony, which he has done historically for 27 years, can re-up by kidnapping more children, killing more civilians. And this is a real opportunity for us to finish the job. And we've already done a really big investment in this since 2011, and we're so close that to pull out now, we would lose all the ground that we've gained. And that would be a tragedy for thousands. I mean, you know, just to give you a sense of at the height of the insurgency in northern Uganda, 1.7 million people were living in an internally displaced persons camp.
Wow.
So this is, and 1,000 right. people a week were dying. So this is not a small thing. This is a very big thing. We got to finish what we went to do. And I spoke with, I think I told you this last week, a top, you know, very well-respected policy, Africa policy expert who's in Uganda on the ground. And I said, what is the importance of the LRA Disarmament Northern Uganda Recovery Act and the 100 right. military advisors that the president sent over there? And his response to me was, game changer.
Yeah.
So this is a game changer. We can't pull out now.
Right.
And that is not a Wiener reference.
Yes, thank you very much for clearing that up for Jim. Because, Jim, if you watch After Kony, her documentary, you will have an even bigger crush on her than you do now. Because it is a beautiful film, and it's a really important issue. And Jim wanted to focus on what was the piece. There was a story about emergency sex, the emergency workers having sex in war-torn countries.
Yes, it's called Emergency Sex, the
right.
book. It's called Emergency Sex,
wow.
about how a lot of relief workers and stuff are having tons of sex. Over
there. Get relief.
And you came to debunk that because you said...
Well, it was just not my experience at all because I...
I need a shower and a flush
toilet.
It's
hot and dusty. Yeah.
Yeah. I need a flush toilet and I'm trying to stay alive. And it was interesting, actually, before I went to Uganda, I met with security. I had security training. And he said, you know, I would much rather be captured by the Taliban than the LRA. And that just gives you a sense of how brutal... This rebel army is. And I met, you know, girls whose lips were cut out, tongues cut out. And, you know, we can't, we're so close, and it's such a relatively speaking, a small investment to finish what we started. It would be, I think, a tragedy for us not to do it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Do it. Do it.
Zero LRA.
It's up on your Facebook page.
Thank you. Stephanie Miller Show Facebook.
It's on mine, too.
There you go. Like magic. It's important stuff, and you should watch the film because it's really is amazing. Jim, I have no idea how Melissa Gilbert came up during the break.
Because we were talking about Sarah Gilbert.
Oh,
who was
somehow
married to...
right. Everyone that listened that knows Stephanie Miller Show know, Lord, I broke up her marriage, her original marriage to Bruce Boxleitner.
Right.
according to the National Enquirer. Because
that's the only time you've ever been in a tabloid.
Right, right. Apparently we had a screaming catfight backstage at my late night TV show because you know.
You were stealing her man.
Right. He was her husband, but he was my man, sure. As I once heard on Jerry Springer.
He may be your husband, but he's my man.
Exactly. And I said, because it's well known that I am a man-hungry homewrecker.
Sure. Or a home-hungry man-wrecker.
Thank you, Jim.
What? So they
said I'm really more of a home-hungry man-wrecker, yeah. Which is true.
So they didn't suss out the real news story there?
Melissa was shocked, to find out that there was something untrue in the National Enquirer.
I'm very disappointed because that and my AOL homepage are my main sources of news. And now that one is gone, I'm going to have to replace it with something.
I believe you alerted me to the poop story. In fact, you were second on that news, Chris.
Well, I gave you the sanitized version, if you will.
The Salon has the original story about, he pooped in a federal courthouse, really to an epic degree, and had spent a week in jail.
Okay, I am getting reports now that he was maybe a little mad because he had lost a few cases in a row,
right.
And so he might have done it intentionally.
Right.
Ew.
There is a description. 57 pages of description. Right, about what happened in that bathroom.
And what he ate. And
I read some of that, actually.
Right, yeah.
Which was on my AOL homepage.
Why does that need to be in a...
Do you have teacher bin?
Yes.
Okay, because we were saying, and I know why you would send it to me, because all my friends did, because I'm the leader in poop journalism. If there is a poop story, I am on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like white on rice, like a bobcat.
Like corn on what
right.
Else?
Corn. When do we have corn? Because my original claim to fame, you know, every reporter has their big story. I don't know if you remember this in L.A. How many years ago?
Oh, God, this was like 98?
Right. She became known as Teacher Poopy Pants.
Right.
Because she was a teacher who sued the school district because she said that her students had thrown a bucket of liquefied feces on her.
But after an investigation,
it turned out the police said that she was the source of the feces.
Ew!
She was the pooper and the poopy.
Right, right. And so she lost the lawsuit. It was a big story here in L.A. And
I was not living here.
So we see at the close of our calculations that the square root of 4 is 2. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Oh, that's going to be bad. Oh, jeez. Oh, holy cow. Oh, my. All right, kids, we'll take a short recess.
Oh, wow. That's why we lost the job at the other place.
That is. Is that the bit we got fired on?
No.
It was just actual audio of an actual news story that was happening.
Right. I can tell you the bit we got fired on.
Yeah, we better not even mention the title.
Why not?
Jesus Christ Superstud?
That one.
Okay.
Yeah.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with more hot Brie in the city, more opportunities to get in trouble.
Should we play Jesus Christ Superstud?
No!
The rest of the star. Who's going to fire us now?
Who even cares anymore?
Exactly.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
My. So what that man can do with his mouth. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
You have no idea.
Okay. Matt and Raleigh, you're on with Hot Brie. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Good to talk to you guys. And Mooks.
Yes.
I wanted to invite you to Raleigh. I know that you go to Charlotte and you go up to Asheville where they got Uggs and dreadlocks. But the women in the triangle are the ones who are fronting the charge against these crazy men who want to probably check out my 7-month-year-old's diaper contents and my daughter. And geez,
yeah.
And please don't say anything about secondhand smoke again because they'll say that that's an effective means of birth control. So
We're calling from tobacco country, my friend. Yeah, somebody sent me a welcome to North Carolina because my whole family's in Charlotte, but the actual sign, and they added a bunch of like literal signs underneath it. It says, welcome to North Carolina, unless you're a teacher or a student or gay or poor or unemployed or have a uterus.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Which is, yes.
Other than that, all of
you. Come on down. All right. Oh, hey, wait a minute. You're getting my Shecky and my hot breed.
Again?
What the heck? What? Good morning again, Jackie Schechner.
We're two tastes that taste great together.
No, but we've been having an interesting discussion because, obviously the wiener, this is just the latest one, but it's just caused a lot of conversations about relationships and marriage and infidelity and all that stuff. So you wanted to clarify what you said, because I know you took a Twitter drubbing from some folks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand what everybody's saying and what Melissa's saying about you don't know what goes on in somebody's marriage, and I haven't been married, and I know that the circumstances change once you get married and you make a lot of personal decisions. But I think from a public perspective, first of all, when he decided to become a public figure and he decided to make this kind of behavior public, which he did by putting it out there on Twitter and other social media websites, it does become our public information and our public concern. And then
that part we talked about, social media, is a more public way. Even Clinton, you know what I'm saying, that was a more traditional, like, fooling around trying to hide it, right, Jackie?
Well, social media
is just another, like, he was putting it out.
Totally.
No, I mean, I don't want to get into the Clinton thing, because that's a whole other conversation, and I don't want to combine the two personally, but, that's one whole aspect of it. But then, he says he resigns from Congress. He says he's going to take care of this. They do a People magazine spread together where he says, I feel like a changed man. I'm a totally different person now. And then the news comes out that not only has he been doing this again as recently as like 6 months ago, and there's so many women he can't remember how many there are, but if you read the context of what's been put out there, I mean, he's incredibly disrespectful to his wife, and he flat out says that the woman, the Sydney Leathers woman, is the perfect woman, and I mean, it's so much information that's out there that's disrespectful of the woman that he's supposed to be closest to, and then she gets up in public and defends him. I don't see where that's a decision that we can't pass some sort of judgment on.
Well, you said that it bothered me that people called her brave for that, and Melissa, you felt differently about people.
Well, no. I actually agree. It bothers me that people call her brave, but it also bothers me that people say that she's, other things about her in that decision. And I agree with you. The public part and her standing up and supporting him as a candidate, I agree. All bets are on for that.
Right.
But to say that, what you consider and what I consider disrespectful within her marriage is really immaterial to her marriage and her decision.
Right.
And I think it's fine if we want to talk about it. I'm just not going to make a judgment call about that. Because, look, I know people who have marriages that I wouldn't have, who sleep with other people. It's an agreement that they have. That's none of my business.
Right.
If that's how they keep their marriage going, that's none of my business.
Well, and Jack, it goes to, I think, what the point Melissa was making is that, we talk personally that both in her marriage and in my long-term relationship, we both... Let's just, and it's private, so we would, but endured things that we would not think we would have, you know what I mean? And do you know what I'm saying, Jackie? That sometimes you stay longer than you think if X, Y, or Z happened, but then when it happens to you and you already love the person, it just becomes more of a gray area.
Yeah, I think that happens without marriage, too. I mean, I think a lot of times you get into a long-term committed relationship with somebody where you love each other and you're willing to tolerate behavior you didn't think you would. But this isn't like this is the first time this has happened. And the fact that there was a big public showing of how he was a changed man and reformed and he understood what was wrong and he resigned from Congress... And then he continues to exhibit this behavior, and I mean, to me as a woman, I find, it's not like they came out and said, we have an agreement, we can see other people and send dirty messages to other people publicly and humiliate each other, and that's totally okay. And I mean, I just...
Yeah, it's hard to believe that was okay with her.
Yeah,
I do too.
Like,
but
I can't in my brain find the circumstance under which this isn't disrespectful to
her. Well, hey, honey, would it be okay if I sent pictures of my to just a whole bunch of random women? Would that be okay? I'm just guessing the answer. That was not an affirmative, right, Jack?
No, I mean, that would be my guess. I've heard of a lot of open relationships and a lot of really good workable solutions and agreements between people. This one hasn't come up that often.
Well, look, for me, I assume that would be totally unacceptable. But again, and frankly, I'm not going to be surprised if she turns around in a very short amount of time and says, see ya.
Right.
But that would not surprise me a bit. But I just don't, I want to be very careful not to pass judgment on her decision about what she's doing with her marriage. I'm happy to pass judgment on her decision to stand up in front of us and say I support him as a candidate. That I think is wrong, and I think it hurts the party, and I think it's hurting a lot of people, and I think it's hurting the race and the issues. I do have a problem with that.
he's already, Jim, as we were saying, fourth in the polls, and if he drops to fifth out of a four-person race, then I believe she
all right. Say bye-bye. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Math is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. You don't know sometimes. I mean, as you know, I lived with cats, for instance. You don't know what you might do.
No, I think it's a fair distinction to make that there's a difference between saying, you know, I'm going to stay in this relationship and I'm going to stand up there. And I get that. I do. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this one because I just feel like there's just been such a pattern of lies and deceit and disrespect, both
totally.
Publicly and privately, that I just can't see a workable way around this where she says, yes, this is the kind of marriage I wanted to have.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to.
Yeah. I think that what happens with these subjects, it's like the Zimmerman trial, right, Jack? I think this particular, it brings up a lot of our personal emotions and personal issues, and we
Absolutely.
All have histories, right? So I think everybody sees it differently, probably based on that.
Yeah, and I think it's a totally valid conversation to have, and I think it's, I mean, fundamentally as a woman, I think there's a lot of issues, that are worth discussing within this context.
Yeah.
Actually, frankly, as a human being, I don't think it's necessarily gender specific, but.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you are perfect in every way and, the best member of our throuple.
That is so not true, but I'll take it.
I love you. Goodbye, Jackie Scheckner.
Love you guys too.
Bye, Jackie.
Bye.
See you on the paddleboard.
All right, it is up, after Coney. TheMovie.com. Check it out. And we also have links up for the
Zero LRA.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Activist, Hot Brie, Melissa Fitzgerald, everybody. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.